Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, Timotheus. Good morning, brother.
Good morning to you.
Just checking the old email here now this morning.
What makes you think it's old?
Well, actually, it's non-existent. There is no email.
It'll be here in just a second, maybe.
Yeah. Are you well this morning?
I am well.
We were just talking. I am.
Yeah, you've been through some stuff since last week.
Well, some stuff. Nothing any more major than anybody else goes through.
Yeah.
Just a little viral infection and trying to bounce back, get things going again. And it seems like when we're younger, we bounce back quicker. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have, because I'm 53 years old
yes,
now.
Yes, sir.
And I don't bounce back like I did when I was 33.
You won't. You won't. And of course, getting up as early as you do, I'm surprised you bounce back at all.
Well, I'm kind of like a flat, about like a half-filled balloon sometimes.
Half-filled balloon. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
It just kind of goes up a little bit, and then it goes go down. And
yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, you're like the old brother that used to pray all the time, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me. And a brother in the church, one of those, I like to call them forbidding brethren.
Oh.
I got tired of hearing that and told him, he said, quit that. He said, quit praying. Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you filled with the Spirit? And the old brother said, I am, but I leak.
Yeah, amen.
We all leak. And so
we do.
We're starting off today here on God's Point of View, acknowledging that we all leak.
Yeah. Yep.
And if folks would want to call and talk to us about that or any other subject.
Yeah, their leakage, maybe.
Sure.
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit. Thank you so much for qualifying. They could call us. What would they do, Timothy?
They could give us a call at 789-0318, 789-0318. Or if the interweb, will come up, as Jerry calls it, you can do that at godspointofview@yahoo.com. Send us a question or a comment there. godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Yeah, right there it is. No emails currently.
At
the present time. But we're willing to take them and able to take them and ready to go. I mentioned to you just a moment ago, Timotheus, that I saw some of our good friends standing on the street there a minute ago. Reminded me of something that took place back many, many years ago. During the 17th century, actually, I would think that qualifies as many, many years ago.
Now we're not talking about the gentleman standing on the street. We're just talking about maybe the practice.
I was reminded of something.
Okay.
Reminded of something. It was called the Black Plague.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Plague swept over London. You don't remember that, but you've read about it in school, I'm sure.
I've heard about it, yeah.
Back in 1665 and 1666. And the wagons would go down the street. These fellows, undertakers, would drag these wagons down the street each morning. They'd ring a bell as they went.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, quote, bring out your dead. Mm-hmm. Bring out your dead. You know, so many people were dying back then, Timotheus. They didn't have time for funerals.
Wow.
So what they would do, they'd gather all the bodies up that they could get from going down the street, bring out the dead, ringing the bells. And then they'd just dump all these bodies in a common grave.
Wow.
That's how bad it was. As a matter of fact, what made things even worse was that there was a tremendous fire at that same time. And someone made the comment that London, the city of London, doesn't have a lot of the same medieval monuments and so forth that a lot of other European cities have. And it simply was because they were all destroyed. They were all burned.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that caught my attention about that story was the preachers preaching then.
Okay.
The preachers at that time, there were just two types. Two types of pulpits and two types of churches. There were those who stayed, and they weren't preaching about trivial things.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't preaching about things that had no consequence, inconsequential we might call them, or things that were not significant. They were preaching about life.
Mm-hmm.
And death.
Yep.
I mean, they were surrounded by it.
Oh, yeah.
And they preached about God and judgment and how to be saved. There were some preachers that left. They didn't stick around because they were good time preachers, and they were preachers that didn't want to have to deal with the subject of death and so many people dying. I got to thinking about that, and I thought about our responsibility today. Our responsibility today is to do the same. We are surrounded by death on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Death of the culture, death of faith, death of conviction, all kinds of death. And preachers need to proclaim loudly from their pulpits salvation. And I'll tell you something I was reminded of recently, Timotheus, during my little sick spell, was that I for 3 or 4 days I did the same thing, trying to get well.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't do what I wanted to do.
Yep.
And I woke up every morning thinking, well, I've just got to do the same thing today now and try to get better.
Yeah.
It was as if I had no purpose.
Yeah.
Man's got to have a purpose.
And if you don't have a purpose, it's bad.
I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of our culture, a lot of our young people have turned to drugs.
Yep.
I really do.
Yep.
Is that they don't feel they have any chance or any purpose in life. I do know that our enemy wants it that way.
Oh yeah.
He loves for it to be that way. And a lot of people are giving into that. Maybe someone's listening that would like to give us a call and just give us some of their ideas about that. They could do so at 7890318 or still waiting for email, godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Now, you could have somebody out there today listening and saying, that's sounding awfully familiar.
Yeah.
They don't have a purpose.
Yeah.
And they're feeling that right now.
Well.
And you get in a quagmire.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
You don't know which way to turn.
Absolutely.
You don't know what to do. You don't know who to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me suggest quickly you turn to the church.
Yeah. Amen.
And maybe this call's about that. Let's take the call, Timotheus.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes,
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How about you?
I'm wonderful.
Amen. Amen. What's on your heart today?
Well, I've struggled with drug addiction for most of my life, and I've recently gave my life back to the Lord, and I've
God bless you for that. He's the only hope any of us have.
Yes, sir, he is, and, He's really what people out there are searching for. I mean, I've took every kind of drug there is to try to fill that void, and he's what everybody needs.
Amen. Amen.
The void never could be filled, could it?
No, sir. No type of drug will give you that experience.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow years ago, brother, you caused me to think of his statement. His name was Blaise Pascal. Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every heart.
Mm.
and it will never be filled until it is filled with God.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
That's the truth.
Hmm. Well, you know, when we were young, we couldn't wait till we turned 16. We just knew if we could get a driver's license, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah.
And then we couldn't wait till we turned 18, graduate from high school. Then we couldn't wait till we turned, and the list goes on and on and on. You know how that goes.
Yep.
We're looking to fill something, when all the while, it's God. And most people aren't looking there. As a matter of fact, there was a recent survey taken that indicated that most people are not only not looking, they simply don't care. They're apathetic. I was talking to a fellow one time over at the jail in one of our services there, and he had lost everything because of drugs. And I saw your lips move during the song service. He wouldn't sing out loud, but it was in his heart. He wanted to, but he just had given up on life. And I said, I saw your lips move to Amazing Grace. He said, yeah, I was raised in church. I said, well, what happened, brother? Knowing full well what he was going to tell me, I'd heard it so many times. He said, lost my wife, lost my family, lost my job, lost my home, lost everything. And he turned to walk away, and I said, brother, maybe you can get it back again. And he said, no. And then he said something I've never forgotten. He said, drugs have robbed me of my mind.
Hmm.
Drugs have robbed me of my mind.
Hmm.
But brother, you're living proof that it doesn't have to be that way, aren't you?
Amen. Amen. And he's filled my soul, my void, and now I'm writing songs for him and to
God bless you.
Up to him.
God bless you. Now let me ask you one very crucial question.
Yes, sir.
Are you writing any bluegrass gospel?
Well, I'm starting on the bluegrass gospel. I'm trying to reach a younger age group at first. But I cut my teeth on bluegrass gospel.
God bless your little heart. Come over to Highland sometime. Visit with us.
All right, we may try to do that.
Love for you to bring one of your original songs, bluegrass gospel songs, and you can get up and sing it for us.
All right.
Bless you, brother.
All right.
Thank you for your words of encouragement today.
Thank you all for what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much.
Wow. That's a good call from that good brother.
That is a good call.
Good testimony to Mothis. I don't care what it is you're dealing with. I made the comment last night to Mothis. You remember because you were there, unless you nodded off on me at that point. See, I've given you some allowance now because, you know.
A little more grace.
I'm getting up at 2:30.
A little more grace.
Yeah. Not much, but some.
Just a little.
That don't ever give up on anybody.
Yeah.
Don't ever give up.
Yeah. You did say that.
Yeah, I did say that. Now, not everybody agrees with that. And I know some people I'd love to give up on, but God won't let me give up on people.
Yeah.
I might have to turn away and might not be able to deal with them like I'd like to for a while. But God can change people. God can turn people around, just like this brother that just called.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we're looking to fill something. And I don't know why some are late bloomers. I don't know why some come to the maturity level later than others. Don't ask me to explain that. I can't. But I do know this. I do know that I do not feel the same about things today that I did 25 years ago or 30 years ago or certainly 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I have a maturity, more of a maturity. I need more maturity. If I live, I expect to be more mature 10 years from now, 5 years from now. Changing. I'm constantly changing. I hope for the better.
Now, you said something that's interesting, that don't give up on people. And, of course, that's very true, and I think you're exactly right. But you said that sometimes you don't get to deal with them like you'd want to. You may have to turn away for a little while.
Yes, sir.
People could view that as giving up on them.
They could, but I'm reminded of the words of our Lord and Savior in the Gospel of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said, if you go to someone's house, he said, now, don't want you to take any staff, don't take any script, don't take a purse, don't take anything with you.
This is when he sent the disciples out two by two.
Sent them out, And he said, because the people will take care of your needs. Now, I had an old preacher one time who didn't believe in paying the preacher. You know, he believed the philosophy, you pay a preacher to preach, you can preach, you can pay him to lie.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of a little funny joke, but, anyway, he said, you know, the Bible says not to take anything. Well, he misread that.
Yeah.
He misunderstood because he had been brought up with a traditional doctrine that you just don't pay the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he's supposed to live, but you're not supposed to pay him.
He gets to work a full-time job in pastor.
Well, I've done that. And yeah. a lot of pastors have and are.
Yep. They sure are.
In order to avoid the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, what Jesus was telling his disciples was, here, you go out and don't provide for yourself. The people will provide for you. And if, in fact, they won't, he said, you shake the dust off your feet and move on down the street. Now, that doesn't mean that a week later, 2 weeks later, 2 years later, that if that person comes back and says to you, you know, I was wrong about that. Please mm-hmm. forgive me.
Yeah.
Then we're obligated to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't stand in the same spot year after year after year knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Timotheus,
you've been down that road before.
I have been down that road. That.
Yeah.
So, let me say it like this. Let me get this down to where the calves can get it.
Maybe I can understand it now.
So, every person has more right to hear the gospel once than one person has a right to hear it twice.
Hmm.
Did you get that?
Hmm. That's a pondering thought.
That's
right
a pondering thought, but it's true.
Yeah.
Every person has more right to hear the gospel once than one person has right to hear it twice. The apostles would preach the gospel. Jesus would preach the gospel in a certain area,
heal people and move on. Yeah.
They'd say, come on back, come on back. And he said, you don't want me to come back because of the things I said or even because of the things I did. You want your belly filled.
Yeah.
You want me to come back because of the bread. So people will oftentimes use us, they'll abuse us. And we have to love people, don't have to like everything about them, but we have to love them, and that means we do what's best for them with heaven in view.
Even if that means turning away for a while.
Even if it means. I made a recommendation recently. Actually, I told this person, they asked me about a relative of theirs that was having a lot of problems and going down the wrong road and was currently incarcerated, and said, what do you think I should do? And I said, I can't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
But I can only tell you what I have done and what I wish I had done differently. If you continue to enable people to their destructive behavior, then you will never, ever, ever have a chance of helping them eternally. Sometimes you have to walk away. Remember the rich young ruler. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
He walked away from Jesus because he loved his money more than anything. Not one time did Jesus holler at him and say, hey, hold on just a minute now. I've reconsidered.
Yeah.
No. Nor did he chase him.
Or did he try to convince him?
He did not. He told him what he needed to do. I think it's interesting. Jesus never told anybody else that we know of to do that.
Hmm.
But he did tell that man.
Yeah.
Now, what is it, friends, listening today that Jesus is telling you? What is it that you need to do? May not be money. May not be drugs. It may be like one brother stood in a church service one time and he said, I left the Lord one time purely because of lust.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's you, my friend. Maybe your pride is keeping you from being what you ought to be. I don't know. But God knows.
Mm-hmm.
And God will use things and circumstances to convict you. He does that through His Spirit. Jesus said when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's the Spirit of God. That's His job, is to not exalt Himself, but to exalt the name of Jesus. Jesus is our all in all. That's a good old song to both us.
Yeah.
You could sing some of it for us if you wanted to.
This is not the time.
nor the place. 789-0318 or
God's Point of View at yahoo.com.
Yeah, still no email. So folks are, folks are like you and I were talking earlier. It's rainy and they're down today and they're not wanting to talk.
Yep.
Listen, an impression without an expression leads to depression. You need to, whatever you're feeling, you need to get that out.
Yep.
And sometimes you need to do that privately, but sometimes you can do it publicly. We have this format here for you today.
Yeah.
We want to encourage you to call.
And we were talking just briefly because you actually literally walked in the door at 10:29 and a half.
I did.
A joke of that.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that more here in just a
minute. All right, brother.
We got a phone call coming in. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning, honey.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Who are you calling, Tim honey or me honey?
All right. I love everybody.
Thank you. I just want to be sure that he wasn't getting more honey than I was getting.
Yeah. I love everybody.
Bless you. Bless your heart.
You probably know me. The Lord free.
Yes.
Okay. The Lord saved me. I had a stroke, so bear with me. I had a stroke. I got saved and 16 years old. Like 62 years.
Hmm.
I had the Lord. The Lord had me. He's got me in his hand.
Amen.
But, honey, then I had the stroke. They gave me up to die here in West Virginia on the same day. 3 days. I didn't know nobody.
Hmm.
This is what the Lord can do for you. And I didn't know nobody. The Lord waked me up, and I was shouting and hollering for the Lord. I went down with the Lord and still got the Lord in my heart.
Amen.
I drive and everything. And the Lord's good for everybody. We all make mistakes, but
yes,
we have to pray every day. He tells us to pray.
Amen.
I pray for night and day, and my boys got saved. The Lord is so good for everybody.
Amen. Amen. Amen, sister.
And then let me tell you something. I had this stroke. My boys got saved. My brothers and all some of them. The Lord had a work for me to do. I love everybody, see? I love everybody. But anyway, then last Thursday, I've had an eye infection in my eye about 3 months. But anyway, I went to my doctor. He put me in the hospital. Got my had blood in my brain and my heart bad. Well, I went over and done all them tests, just a hot doctor and everything. You know what? Nothing wrong with me.
How about that?
See, the Lord's good, honey.
God is good all the time.
And all the time.
Yes. God is good.
Yes. See, and my blood's good all the time. My blood, I drive. I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Well, you've been a blessing to us today, I'll tell you that for sure.
Well, 13 years ago, I had a stroke, see?
Yeah.
And I go to town. Sometimes I feel bad. We all do, and we all have to die one of these days.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. The Lord's coming, ready or not.
He
is coming.
We want to thank you for calling and sharing that testimony with us. God bless you today.
I love you all.
We love you back.
Everybody, honey.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Wait a minute. I got a granddaughter in Georgia in the Army. Pray for her, honey.
I will. We will indeed.
All the boys, honey.
Amen.
Amen.
I love you all.
Amen.
Love
we
you
love
too,
you,
honey.
Bye-bye.
Hmm. What a great call.
Lot going on. Talking about the Army and being in Army in Georgia. Our own good brother Andrew Oxshire is with the
Army Corps of Engineers.
Army Corps of Engineers, and will be making a trip to Florida.
Florida. Right? He was on call, I think, on standby for Harvey that went through Texas.
Right.
And from what I understand now, he's going to be going to Florida.
Yeah, I saw a picture this morning. With all the good things that are going on there and all the people helping, there's always going to be some looters, you know.
Yep.
Did you see the picture of the two guys sitting alongside the road handcuffed, and there was a big telephone pole attached to the top of their little station wagon?
No.
They were trying to steal a utility pole.
Are you serious?
I'm serious as I can be.
Well, out of really bad, bad catastrophic circumstances, what we are seeing, though, Jerry, the good in it, is the unity that it's bringing together.
Amen.
We've heard about race and we've heard all this stuff political that's going on, but there was pictures everywhere of all races helping one another, carrying each other, rescuing one another. And that is a blessing in such a bad circumstance.
It is a blessing.
That we can see that happening. You know, you're not talking about this life matter and that life. They all matter.
Absolutely.
And they all are working together. So I'm thankful to see that.
Amen. Well, I'm in total agreement with you on that. They all matter. Now here's a story. There's so much, while there's always, deeds of humanity, helping humanity,
mm-hmm.
and we're for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be a certain number of nuts out there, you know, that are going to just...
Can a preacher say that?
I just did.
Oh, okay.
I was asking myself that after I said it. But plain talk, Granny used to say, is easy understood.
That's true.
So here's a story that I ran across recently about a monkey that took a selfie.
Okay.
The article is entitled The World's Most Litigious Selfie. The picture was made of a monkey by the name of Naruto. But people, he got this man's camera and pushed a button and took a picture of himself.
Okay.
Well, it went, as they say, viral.
Viral.
And People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has sued this photographer. His name is Slater, claiming that the monkey owned the rights to his selfie. And so a settlement has been reached. Mr. Slater will donate 25% of future revenue for Naruto's selfie to charities that protect his habitat in Indonesia.
Really?
Man has such potential to do some wonderful things for humanity, to advance the kingdom of God, but then we have to deal with these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Does
anything ever cease to amaze you?
Nothing.
What you see anymore?
No, I stand amazed. And here's one final. We're just about to run out of time to move this. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man takes care of the needs of his animal.
Yes.
So we're not advocating that monkey should be mistreated in any way, shape, or form. But there are groups filing lawsuits to protect his royalties.
Yeah.
Over what purely was an accident, took a picture of himself.
On another man's phone,
actually it was his camera. He was a photographer.
Oh, okay.
And now he's willing to go along with that.
Yeah.
You see, that just adds fuel to that kind of a fire.
Yeah.
So here's another thing that we're dealing with. The headline reads, Transgenderism Goes to College.
Well, I thought it was already there.
Women's colleges struggle to define what it means to be a woman.
Seriously?
So there's all kinds of colleges around the country. Wellesley College is one somewhere up north, and then there's other colleges that just for women.
Mm-hmm.
They were founded just for women.
And they're struggling to figure out...
There you go.
What a woman is.
There you go.
They put me on the salary. I could help them real quick.
Could you really do that?
Oh, I could point one down in a heartbeat.
Oh, you're too eager.
Well, I'm just saying it's not that hard most of
you're
the time.
You're too eager now. I don't know whether we'd want you on there or not.
Well, I mean, how difficult is it to say, yep, she's a woman.
Crazy, brother. Things are crazy. That leads us back to where we started.
Yeah.
You need to think about, we all need to think about leaving this world.
All those things that we talked about, I know you're...
Please, go ahead.
All that we just talked about is Satan's distraction from what you're ready to talk about.
Of course it is. He appears as an angel of light.
Yep.
To distract people from what the brother
the truth.
Called about earlier. He was on drugs. The Lord filled the void. He's no longer on them. Now you say, well, I know a lot of people that have said that and they went right back to him. You know, that may be true, but there are some who never do.
Yeah.
And that gives me hope.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
There are some that won't steal utility poles. They'll help out their neighbor, whether he's black or brown or white or green or purple or whatever color he may be. They'll help him. That tells me that God's still in this world.
Amen.
And we're going to have to prepare to leave here to go be with him. There's a God-shaped vacuum in every heart. And you'll never, ever, ever fill it without God.
Folks, that's going to wrap it up for God's Point of View today, presented by the Highland Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to services. Sunday school is at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning for Sunday morning worship, 6 p.m. for life groups on Sunday evening, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So please come and join us at the Highland Church of Christ. And we want to thank you again today for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View.